It's Ken Kratzer for Sons of the American Legion Radio. We have a special edition of our Talking Business show series. And we heard about a really important technology that can help people recover from serious injuries or strokes, something that was actually developed in the military. And we are very pleased to have with us a gentleman, Daryl Musick of ExoBionics out in California. Daryl, great to have you join us today.
Hey, thank you, Ken. It's nice to be here.
Pleasure. Now, your company, you mentioned, had its start in developing something that was part of the Future Soldier program that would help increase the capabilities of soldiers, but it's really the important application seems to be in healthcare and helping those who have had strokes or other injuries that where they have to rehabilitate to learn how to walk. And you have something called an exoskeleton. Maybe just tell us a little bit about your company and this very important capability that you've developed.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. So ExoBionics basically develops robotic technology to enhance people's current opportunities. So whether it's a soldier that needs to carry more, or in my space, the ExoGT is designed to help people that have suffered a stroke or a spinal cord injury to be able to stand up and walk again and take steps when they currently are unable to do so.
Well, that's such an important capability. You know, we spend a lot of time with the military. We see so many injuries that have resulted from the recent conflicts. And then also we are involved with some sports injuries, too. You are familiar with the gentleman from Rutgers, Eric LeGrand, who had a spinal injury in a game against Army in 2010. I saw the whole thing happen, and Eric's been such a courageous young man. But tell us a little bit about what's the potential of this exoskeleton capability. What kind of patients can it help out?
Yeah, we've worked really hard to develop the ExoGT to work with various patients with disabilities. And right now, we are FDA cleared to work with patients with spinal cord injury with a complete injury, which is considered a severe injury where the patient is probably unable to walk at level T4 and below. And then we also have the capability or the FDA clearance to go up to the cervical level, so a neck injury at the C7 level. As long as there's some power in the legs and they're working on walking, we're able to go up to that level with spinal cord injury.
We're also Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We're also the only robotic exoskeleton that has clearance to work with patients that have suffered a stroke or a CVA.
Well, it's an important capability. So someone has to still have the ability to walk to some degree, but this will help them significantly be able to walk further and to with their rehabilitation. I understand this is right now it's primarily for helping patients rehabilitate.
Yeah, we started in this space with people that had complete injuries that were unable to walk at all. And we can still do that. And we have a fair number of customers that are able to take someone with zero power in their legs, and the device will use motor power and a computer algorithm to stand them up and take steps. And we've done quite well with that. We've advanced the technology to a point where when someone has an injury that is what we call partial paralysis and there's recovery potential, we're now able to let them do what they're capable of doing, and then we're able to enhance what they're not able to do and get them to take steps at a much earlier point in their recovery. And the technology is able to allow them to, as they do more and more on their own, as they're getting stronger, then the technology will back off to where it's handing off the assignment to them. And so the robot does less and less as the patient does more and more. And hopefully the patient walks right out of the device and doesn't need it.
Well, that's terrific. So this is really a device, a capability that will help a patient recover, go through the rehabilitation process, as you said, do more at the beginning and then do less until the patient can walk on their own, and that's so valuable. I guess one of the areas that we're always very concerned about, we do a lot of work with our veterans. I was saying one of the folks from the Army that we meet up at West Point is Colonel Greg Gadsden, one of the great heroes of the Army. He lost both legs in a bombing in Iraq, and he's the only soldier to come back to command a base down in Washington. But tell us a little bit about some of the levels that this exoskeleton would help recovering military members, per se.
Yeah, Ken, we have several devices, actually over a dozen out there in VA hospitals around the country. So we're actively helping several facilities and soldiers that have sustained spinal cord injuries. Basically, the levels, as you discussed, we can go as high as T4, which is about upper mid-chest as a level of paralysis, and if there's no function in their legs, and then we're able to go up into the neck region, the C7 vertebrae spinal cord injury level is the highest we're cleared to go to with the FDA at this point, as long as there's some leg function and they're working on walking.
Well, that's terrific, and it's good to hear the Department of Veterans Affairs is implementing this to help with rehabilitation of our soldiers, sailors, and airmen. Maybe you could describe the device. We'll have a couple of pictures up on our show site, but maybe just describe what are some of the components to this skeleton equipment that a patient would wear.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to do. It's basically, you can imagine two legs, and the two legs are connected through a torso or a backpack. And the patient we set the device into a chair, and we have a patient sit in the chair on kind of in front of it, and then we bring the device to the patient and sort of set the patient in it. And then when we're all finished setting them up, they're pretty much one with it. So they're strapped in. A lot of them will say they feel like they're getting ready for takeoff or something like a airplane. But after we've got them in it, then we use either a walker or crutches, and we program it to stand. And then it goes through a sit-to-stand motion, much like you and I would do to get out of a chair. And then we program it to take steps. So the patient and the therapist and the device all work together to learn how to balance and weight shift and eventually take quite nice steps. Even with someone that is unable to do so on their own, we can program it and help them learn how to take these steps that are so important to recovery of walking.
Yeah, I mean, when I've seen the pictures, it kind of looks like a series of braces that connect and coordinate. And I understand that this is sort of an example of the Internet of Things, that there is the programming that you mentioned helps coordinate the unit for the patient. And so it's a very sophisticated, it's got some sophisticated programming capabilities built into it.
Yes, it is. It's quite complicated, and there's some really brilliant engineers that work with me and the clinical side to help develop this technology. Vodafone is actually our connectivity partner, and they help us gather information from the device, and it comes to us here in California, and we're able to help the customer with data that they're gathering, or we're able to look at the device and how it's doing, and so it's a very important part of this technology.
Well, absolutely, and just want to take a second and describe your background. You've got over 20 years of clinical experience in the field of spinal cord injury, and you've been with ExoBionics since December 2010. And it turns out that you worked with my brother-in-law at Craig Hospital in the Denver area, Gail Whiteneck. That's a great coincidence. That's a very well-respected hospital, Craig Hospital in Denver.
Yeah, thank you. And so, yeah, my background is spinal cord injury rehab. I started out in California at Santa Clara Valley Medical Center, which is a model center out in California. I spent 15 years there and developed my career and enjoyed it very much. And then in 2005, I was offered the position of director of physical therapy at Craig Hospital. So I got to work with Gail and many other leaders in the field that were tremendous. And Craig Hospital is one of the leaders in the spinal cord injury field. So I had a great opportunity there and met some really, really awesome people. Gail is one of my favorite people, by the way. Sorry to hear he's retiring. And then I came back to California in 2010, and the Exobionics had this prototype that they were developing, and they needed to have some clinical expertise to take the prototype and make it safe and make sure it was appropriate for patients and clinicians, and that's been what I've been working on the last 6 years.
Well, that's terrific, and I don't think Gail's ever going to retire entirely because the work you folks do is so important in your field, and there's so much improvement in what you can do for patients year after year. You did one thing you did mention is, where did you go to school? Where did you get your education and learn all about this?
Yeah, I actually went to Long Beach State down in Southern California. And the funny thing is, when I entered this physical therapy program, I was planning on being a sports medicine expert, and I figured the San Francisco 49ers would want me. And partway through my PT education, I was randomly assigned to a hospital in Southern California, Rancho Los Amigos Hospital, that does spinal cord rehab. And within 1 week of time there, I entirely changed my field of interest from sports medicine to spinal cord injury. And it took me a couple of years to get to Santa Clara and get started. But once I got to Santa Clara in 91, I've never looked back.
Well, I can understand you found a very important application for what you learned in the sports field. Let me ask you, one of the things that we see are, some of these injuries come up from sports. There was a hockey player at Boston University got hurt about 10 years ago, kind of a spinal injury, and then we were talking about Eric LeGrand and his injury. Are there some sports-related injuries that this exoskeleton has been able to help patients with?
Well, we have been able to help thousands of patients across the country and the world, and many of them have been sports-related. So it depends on their level of injury and their size and the different variables that come into play with rehab, but definitely many patients that many individuals that are injured via hockey or football or motorcycle racing, or there's various types of injuries, but it really matters on the severity of the injury, the location of it, and the variables that go along with it, whether the therapist can use it to help the patient regain some ability to walk.
Okay, well, I'm sure it's very valuable. Now, where are these units, the exoskeleton units, available? I know you mentioned the Department of Veterans Affairs is using several of them. What type of facility would tend to have the equipment today to utilize for patients?
Yeah, there's several areas where the exoskeleton is being utilized today. Most of our customers right now are rehabilitation facilities like Craig Hospital, Santa Clara, Kessler, where you mentioned Eric did his rehabilitation. So the hospitals that are working with clients that have suffered these injuries are where we're primarily located, so that the patients that have an injury and are needing a rehabilitation can use them. So there are others, the VA hospitals, or many of them have them as well. And then there's a few research facilities that are actually doing research with us or for us to help us determine the actual benefits to the patients. So that's the main areas of our device locations right now.
Well, it's certainly something. You're in a fast-growing field now. You mentioned that this capability started with the military, this Future Soldier program, to help develop the capabilities of individual soldiers, but it migrated into healthcare. But it certainly seems like it has tremendous applications of the future to help more and more patients, perhaps with even more severe injuries. Do you see a lot of growth potential for the capability of the equipment?
Yeah, that's probably one of the most exciting parts of my job and the space we're in. We are moving pretty quickly in improving this device. So from where it started 5 years ago to where we are now, we've improved it several times. And in each year or so, we are able to enhance it and make it even better for more people. And as we work with our research and the FDA, our goal is to be able to include even more people with different diagnoses and higher level injuries, as you mentioned. And we also are working to get a device that can go home. So for the people that are not able to recover to walk again, we want to be able to have a device that is appropriate for them to be able to take home and maybe take to the movies or, you know, go to dinner. And so they're not always using a wheelchair. They'll have an option to actually go outside of their home and walk if it's the appropriate distance and the appropriate space.
Well, I guess for, you can't imagine what someone goes through who's had one of these serious injuries, how much they all talk about the day they're able to walk again. And you're providing a means to rehabilitate and then also offer hope that in the future. Now, one thing, we talked about the Internet of Things, and I see, just on some of the science documentaries, is so much capability where, and they're doing this, I guess, robotics with hands and arms, is being able to connect to the body itself to offer instructions on what the individual would like to do or move. Is that a future aspect of this kind of capability that it could actually be connected to the individual?
Well, I believe so. In some ways, it's not connected at this moment, but we definitely have the device that it's programmed to operate based on the patient's intentions. So right now, even today, the patient, when they shift their weight over, like you and I weight shift to take a step, and when the patient weight shifts, it knows to take a step because they intended to do that. So it already has a patient intention characteristic to it. I think where you're going is, will we be able to develop where they can just think it and get the step to happen? And that's going to take some time to be able to get those two technologies to be able to connect. But I do think down the road in a number of years, they will be much more intuitive and much higher level of communication between the patient and the devices as we enhance it.
Well, that's a terrific thought, that this is just going to be a better capability in the future, but it's already helping a lot of people today. You mentioned it's helping several thousand patients. Is that how many people would be using this capability today, would you imagine?
You know, that's a really good question. We wish we had an exact number. We have, I think, over 60 million steps worldwide that have been taken in the device. And because we don't actually have a number count per facility, we're estimating that it's over 10,000 individual users at this point, but we're definitely estimating on that.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be increasing over time as more facilities are able to implement this type of capability and service to their treatment plans. And it's just great to see that this is a growing field. I mean, I'd say meeting Eric LeGrand and meeting Colonel Gadsden, it's just great to see that these people are able to move forward with their lives. And the work you're doing, is so important for them. And let's just go. I know your website has quite a few videos demonstrations of patients using the exoskeleton equipment. What will people see when they go to your website and look at some of the videos that you have?
Well, if they go to exobionics.com, they will be able to see what the device actually looks like, where it's located around the country, videos of patients standing up and using it in the rehab space. They'll see different types of individuals with either that are post CVA or post spinal cord injury, and they can get a better idea of some of the words that I've used and see how the device is used. They can also reach out to us if there's any questions or they want any more information. They can contact us through that website as well.
Yeah, and that's terrific. We're talking with Darryl Music of Exobionics, based out in. You're out in the San Francisco area, is that correct?
That's correct. We're in the North Bay, and headquarters is located in Richmond, California. That's just across the Bay Bridge on the east side.
Very nice, very nice. Just fascinating to hear about this capability for patients who are rehabilitating, needing to learn how to walk again from strokes or injuries or other illnesses, and just a field that's growing and improving the technology every year, and also a good example of Internet of Things. So, Darryl, maybe just to sum up, what's the best part of working for Exo and the work you're doing for your patients?
You know, Ken, for me, I always have been driven by patients being able to reach their potential. And it was like whatever this injury has done for them, to bring them down to a low, my goal has been to get them as far as they can get as far as improving their outcome and their life. So what I get to do now is create a tool that therapists can use to enhance their outcome and make, hopefully, we're making them better in some way, whether it's walk better or feel stronger, or maybe it's quality of life. They just feel better about being able to stand up. So it's really gratifying to me to be able to give a tool and put in the therapist toolbox that can help many people have a better life or a better outcome.
Well, that's terrific. You're doing very important work and benefiting people who really can use the assistance, and I know it's only going to improve in time. And we look forward to maybe getting to see a demonstration here in the New York area, and we can bring more of that information to our viewers and our listeners on Sons of the American Legion Radio. Certainly, everyone back at the American Legion will follow this closely, because taking care of these injured soldiers and veterans is so important. So it's an important part of what you're doing, is that I'm sure you're helping a lot of veterans with this capability.
Well, thank you, Ken. It's a pleasure to be talking with you and helping people understand what we're doing and to help various people out there. So thank you.
Absolutely. And more information on this on exobionics.com. That's on our page here as well. And we just really want to thank Darryl Music, the Vice President of Clinical for Exobionics, for taking time to join us. That's, again, Vice President of Clinical Services for Exobionics, based in California, and has had a terrific career in the field of helping people overcome different types of spinal cord injuries. So we thank you so much for calling in and telling us about the capability of Exobionics, and we know it's going to have a lot of benefit for veterans and so many people in the coming years. Also, like to thank our friends at Lazar Partners in New York for helping to set this up, Rajani in particular, and our friends at Vodafone also for helping us, as this is one of the products that they're providing assistance to. So until next time, for Sons of the American Legion Radio on Blog Talk Radio, this is Ken Kreitzer. Have a good day, everybody.